welcome to our second episode of Shaken and Stirred.
Bum, bum, bum.
It's a James Bond rewatch podcast for diehard 00s and franchise first-timers alike. My name is Evan Atkinson. I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Alex Doherty. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing so well. Excited to watch this Russia-themed movie on a cold, cold day today.
And this is a little bit of a triumphant moment for us because we had a COVID scare and we were isolating from each other in our own home.
Yep. So now we're back together.
Yeah, I know. The last time we saw each other, we watched a James Bond movie, and then now we're back.
It's only natural. It is only natural.
A curse.
Well, we do have 25 to get through, so.
No, we can do it. Listen, we've done two in a week. Like, we can get this
at this point.
I'm very excited about this next movie. I had not seen Dr. No. I have seen From Russia with Love before a few times. You have not, is that correct?
I have no idea. I've never heard of this movie in my life.
From the title, what do you think this movie's going to be about?
I'm feeling Red Scare. I'm feeling he's going to go to Russia. We're going to have some top tier spy moments, or like in terms of like listening in on conversations instead of car chasing scenes like in the last one, you know, different vibes because we're now going to be in a colder, slower environment.
A colder war.
Exactly. I want to hear a bad Russian accent in this. I want to hear a British man speak in a Russian accent.
If you were, you know, not James Bond, but what do you think it takes to be a good spy?
Keeping secrets and blending in.
All right. Okay. I like that. So you think this movie is going to be a little bit slower than the last one?
Yeah.
I don't know how that's possible.
Me neither. I think it's going to be a lot more like detective work.
Okay. All right.
Instead of, I don't know. We'll see.
He's going to go to Russia. It's going to be cold. There's going to be some detective work. I think you're right.
Bad guy's going to be a government official.
I was talking a lot of shit about the fact that I've seen this one a lot, but I realized the last time I watched it was like in high school.
So you know exactly what's going to happen.
This is one of the more famous Bond movies. Ooh. I feel like Dr. No is the first one, but From Russia with Love is like James Bond is something that we need to talk about.
Like,
this was the sequel that cemented James Bond as a franchise.
Hell yeah.
Well, and then, okay, after this is Goldfinger. Actually, Goldfinger might be the perfect James Bond movie.
I feel like these seems like a pretty solid top three or first three.
I'm excited for From Russia with Love. I want to give you a warning. From what I remember of this movie,
oh no,
this is where the sexism starts.
Oh, God.
Not like it wasn't in the last movie, but in a big way, Sean
what
Connery.
I was warned about.
Yeah, Sean Connery is a little tough to watch in this one. But I'm excited. I think we should note this movie came out 1 year after Dr. No, which I feel like is unheard of in modern like franchise production schedules. Mm-hmm. For the first...
You're going to say that every episode.
I know. For the first five James Bond movies, there was one a year, 62 through 65, and then there was a two-year break for You Only Live Twice.
The next two movies they had, or the next three, four movies.
They kind of got into a two-year thing.
Yeah.
And then
back to 1 year.
But this was, they were just cranking them out. They had like, I looked up, they had no budget for Dr. No.
Really?
They spent like $1 million.
Wow.
On it. Like it was, Dr. No had a student film budget.
Were they filming on location?
Yeah. Jamaica's just affordable.
Yeah, for sure, especially at that time.
I don't think they filmed this next one in Russia, but...
No, I'm expecting a Hollywood set.
I think something that we're going to get into with this movie as well is the globetrotting aspect of James Bond. Mm. The first one, he was in London and then Jamaica and that's it. This one, Russia, Istanbul, Paris.
Really?
He's moving around.
Love that. I want to see him interact with a whole lot of women.
Oh, you'll get your wish. We're going to come back after we've watched the movie and record the rest of this a little bit more shaken and a little bit more stirred. I'll see you on the other side. From Russia with Love. Wow. First of all, amazing film.
Yeah, I'm pleased about it.
I liked it. So this one, I think it did everything that a good sequel needs to do.
Yeah.
It took what we learned from Dr. No and heightened it a little bit.
Definitely.
But it added, like, I don't know, this one felt like more of a spy movie than Dr. No.
Exactly.
You think so, too?
That's what I called in the beginning.
Damn, shit, you're right. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was.
It was just more of a, like, it gave us a little bit of a taste of the previous movie by having the same woman in the from the previous one, the golfing one.
That
in
surprised the beginning. Me. Sylvia Trench.
Exactly.
Making a return for a little bit. Ready almost to have a some, cameo in this.
Pretty much. Just trying to
have some boat sex. Boat. Try to have some boat sex. A theme that we found Fallen carried on. Yeah. James Bond can only get it wet while it's wet.
Exactly. But then after that, like, it almost pretty much felt separate. You know, they brought in Dr. No a couple times, but it's nice. It still kind of had that anonymous sort of, like, it's good on its own kind of James Bond feeling.
Yeah.
Or it can exist, but it's still a good sequel.
Brief explanation of the plot.
Indeed.
There is a Soviet cipher called the Lector, which is a code-breaking tool.
Size of a typewriter.
Size of the typewriter. I cannot stress enough how much it is the size and shape and is a typewriter.
Yep.
But
he carries it with him everywhere once he gets it.
For most of the movie, Alex and I only understood that this object was the size of a typewriter, not what it was called, not what it could do.
I have no idea what the, like, stakes were.
They just, like, needed this typewriter.
What could this thing do?
What I think my understanding is that it's a cipher. So it's just, it's the code to break Russian code communications.
Ah.
So, like, if you have the Lector, you can read, like, classified Russian intelligence.
Nice.
And without it, it's just gibberish.
Nice.
I think. But from the movie, I understand.
Just pure context clues happening right
it's
now.
It's the size of a typewriter. there was a lot of terminology in this that I think would have, like, I would have understood it more if I lived through the Cold War. Like, they talk about smush a lot, which I think is a real thing. It's like the Soviet military unit for special something. Like, I think that was, like, a known entity at the time. Now I'm just hearing Sean Connery say, "Are you from Smush?" Which is crazy.
I totally ignored every time that was said. I was aware that I had no idea what the word meant, and I just let it pass over me every time.
Okay, update after a brief Google. Smush does not exist.
Did they ever define that for us in the context of these films?
No. And to be honest, I don't even know what they were saying smush, but whatever they were saying sounded like...
It sounded exactly like smush.
Smush.
Mm-hmm.
Are you from Smush?
Because then when he figured out it was Spectre, it was like...
Would you like to
are
smush?
You in Smush?
Yeah, he's like, are you in Smush? Oh, no, you're in Spectre? Oh, okay, that makes a lot more sense. So
yes, this movie, he has sex in a boat in the beginning. Goes to find the Lector.
That's, yeah, has sex in a boat. Goes to find
we
the
meet
Lector.
Q for the first time.
Q shows up and is like, I made you the sick briefcase.
Ew.
And I just wrote Q! Exclamation point. Gadgets. But his gadgets were just tear gas and a gun.
No. That briefcase had bullets, coins.
Yeah.
And a knife on the side.
Oh, that's... You know what? I take it back. It's
well,
pretty cool
And then
cool
suddenly
gadget.
He had two briefcases that had tear gas?
That, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where the second briefcase came from.
I thought it might have been the other guy.
That confused me. Okay, hold on.
So then he gets gadgets from Q.
Goes to Istanbul, does some work with Turkish intelligence, spying on the Russians, trying to figure out where this Lector is. Then meets our Bond girl of the movie named Tanya Romanova. Meets her in a way. I said this while we were watching the movie. I think her approach to him is only something that would work with James Bond, where she just... breaks into his hotel room naked, gets into his bed.
Yeah. They both only saw a picture of each other separately. And she was like, yeah, you're as hot as I thought. And he was like, yeah, you're as hot as I thought.
They had a little Tinder meeting, honestly.
She was like, just like your picture.
You look just like your picture.
And then she goes, I know your height. I know the scar on your back. No, exactly. It's like she read his bio. It's 100% Tinder. It's like Tinder, but then your first date is in a hotel room. But your date doesn't know that you already got the key to the room.
Terrifying.
That's exactly what happened here. But he instead said, looks like your mouth was made for me.
That was crazy. Well, okay. Yeah. So their interaction is, he's like, you look just like in your pictures. And she's like, oh, I don't know. I think my mouth's really big. And he's like, that fucking
immediately
works.
Kisses her.
Yeah.
Hey, okay.
No, your mouth is perfect. I have something big enough for that big fish mouth that
Ew!
You have.
We have not talked about the bad guys at all yet.
Yes. something I should have started with. This movie has a cold open.
Yes.
Which is a first for, well, it's a second movie. So most things are going to be a first.
Yep. But they skipped the like title sequence.
For cold open, we see Sean Connery walking through a hedge maze and then he just gets murdered. And it turns out it was training a Russian super agent. Bum, bum, bum. But for some reason they had the person they were hunting dress up as a photorealistic James Bond.
Why didn't they ever use that technology again?
You can make anyone look like James Bond.
It was like Mission Impossible level mask wearing. It was never brought up again.
That was fucking nuts.
Because they had the same bad guy throughout the entire thing. Yes. He was stalking him the whole time. Never wore a mask.
It's this blonde super Russian agent who kills our fake Sean Connery.
Yep.
In the beginning. He's stalking James Bond throughout the whole movie. He's kind of essentially Russians.
His hair gets lighter throughout the entire thing.
So talk to me about that. Alex had a conspiracy theory. She leaned over me. You leaned over me at one point during our watch and you went, his hair's white now, right? His hair's lighter.
It's bleached. They 100% bleached it. But he was I think it's been bleached
through the whole movie, my friend.
He must have just looked more golden in the sun when he was getting a massage when he was introduced.
Yeah, that was a weird thing. The Russian evil James Bond just has a scene where he's just getting rubbed down.
Like, if you pull up a picture of that scene, he's gonna have blonde hair. Like, when he's being, like, looked over. They bleached it.
I mean, like, I trust you.
No, you do not.
But I think you're wrong. I trust that you believe you're right.
Zoom in there. Oops. I might be wrong.
No, his hair was bleached the whole time.
Yeah, that might friendo. Be right.
Here's something I want to talk about. There, a character shows up while Bond's in Istanbul who is tailing him, who looks like, we called him Stanley Patinkin, a mix between Stanley Tucci and Mandy Patinkin.
Entirely.
Stanley Patinkin is just following James Bond. We don't know why he's following him, who he is, and then he dies.
He's the Russian. He's the Russian that dies in the mosque, because they're pitting them against each other.
So blonde guy kills him to start a cold war between, okay.
This I did sense. Not know that.
Wow.
Until right now.
You just figured that out.
Just live made
it was, I don't know. I was just.
I feel like they explained in the movie, missed it entirely.
I think I was just so befuddled because Stanley Patinkin comes in and he looks, I cannot stress this enough, exactly like Stanley Tucci Patinkin. He is so noticeable. And so I'm following this fool through every scene. Mm. He has no speaking lines and dies. They do one kind of throwaway line in the beginning about how the Russians are tailing Turkish intelligence. Turkish intelligence is tailing Russia.
It's like a fun little
So I think he was the Russian guy tailing James Bond. And then the mega Russians, blonde guy and Kleb, came in and killed him. We're figuring this out.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's the Cold War, so it's complicated. So anyways, they end up finding a group of travelers. They have a whole fight out there. Then they have a fight out later. Then the bad guy gets them, falls in love with this lady, does punch her in the face. She's a bad guy, but they fall in love anyways, and they save the day.
I think the plot of this movie is identical to Dr. No, except replace Dr. No with a blonde guy. Replace... what's his name? Gaucho? Quarrel. Gaucho. Replace Quarrel with our head of Turkish intelligence.
There's a guy in this movie named something similar to that.
Something similar to Quarrel?
No, the Gaucho guy. You know, randomly the side character that he befriends has a enemy that they have to go and like hunt down dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
That attacks them in all of the travelers.
This movie ends twice. Once when they get in the boat, Bond is alone in a boat with his Bond girl. And so from what I learned from Dr. No, they're going to fuck and the movie's going to end. Mm-hmm. But then they're in the boat for a little bit longer than I would have thought.
Yeah.
And then it turns out they're in a boat chase. They fight it out. Bond commits genocide against these boat people.
Blows them up with some oil tanks.
Blows them up. Movie ends. At the end of the film, Bond is together with Tanya. Happily ever after until the next movie has to be made. Alex, what were your highlights and lowlights for From Russia with Love?
Okay. Okay.
Well, actually, let me pause you first. We got to talk about the opening title crawl.
Yeah.
What was your opinion? This is our first... I explained to you this is a very James Bond thing. It's mm-hmm. just the credits projected on the naked bodies of dancing women.
Wait, that's like frequent?
Oh, it's most of the 60s.
Really?
Oh my God, the next one, Goldfinger.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but all the women are covered in gold.
No way. So I guess we can power rank those at the end. I guess I didn't mind. I would have enjoyed it more if it was just the kind of body thing, not like the strange kind of dancing thing that they were trying to make a thing.
This
because it really was an inconsequential like scene that those women were a part of, but they were part of the title sequence. It was kind of strange.
The belly dancing in this film,
mm-hmm.
it felt like somebody studied abroad in Morocco yeah. and then came back and was like, I can teach y'all how to belly dance.
It's like, why was it in there? And why was it the title screen? Why did it have to be?
I think it's, you know, it's 1963. This is exotic. That's this is true. Exciting.
We're traveling out there.
Oh, what are these travelers crazy. Doing? What's everybody doing in Istanbul?
Mm-hmm.
As far into the Middle East as the British would dare to go.
Indeed.
It's an instrumental opening track.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get the From Russia With Love song at the end.
Yeah,
which threw me off. It was good.
It's a banger. And I didn't mind the opening sequence, but I feel like it's going to get old very quickly.
Well, get ready for Goldfinger, because Goldfinger now, I'm realizing, is the first James Bond movie to have a sung, like, title song.
Whoa.
Shirley Bassey's Goldfinger. Goldfinger! It's incredible.
Oh, that's exciting.
This one, From Russia With Love, sounded like a Dean Martin, like... it sounds like something I'd be listening to as somebody on Mulberry Street is trying to harass me getting into their restaurant.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I'd hear From Russia With Love, and Tommy the Nose is like, ladies, wine, sangria, come on. Yep,
lunch deal.
I thought it was interesting. It was pretty similar to Dr. No. Almost, I think it was the same song, to be honest.
Yeah.
But this is the more stereotypical Bond opening because it's projected on a women. You know,
well, I guess this sets the precedent.
It sets the precedent, but hit or miss. Also, no Three Blind Mice in this one. So
yeah, they really make it.
It's too basic.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long two.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while. What were your highlights and lowlights?
Oh, I do have to shout out that the director did put his name on the ass of the woman for the projection.
Yeah, no, that's important to know.
Mentioning. My highlights have to be... I don't know. I did enjoy the spyness of this, you know? I liked the different gadgets that we're incorporating.
Spy? S-P-Y-N-E-S-S?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was like, what part of a body is the spyness?
It was a different vibe from the last one. You know, instead of a car scene, we got a boat chase scene, which is
drastically
fun.
Different film.
Yeah. It's like we have more of a, like... intense fight scene and like the train. We're aware of the bad guy the whole time instead of it being like we're watching one move. Like I don't know. I just feel like it moved a little bit quicker. We had a lot going on.
They did. There was a lot more crisscrossing like plots mm-hmm. in this, whereas the first one is
a lot of characters.
That's and the director lets the audience in on the Russians' perspective too, and mm-hmm. we also get our first look at Ernst Blofeld, who's like. Essentially the Joker
mm-hmm.
of the Bond franchise, stroking his white cat. Credited, I wrote down in the credits, it's Ernst Blofeld played by ?
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy to do.
Because we haven't seen his face yet.
That would not fly.
They have not. They're hoping they can get a bigger budget later.
To get a better actor. I like that idea. I knew there were three Spider-Men for a while,
mm-hmm.
but like that wouldn't fly today. No. But I like that. That fight scene that you talked about, that was one of my highlights.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fight scene in a train towards the end of this movie where James Bond and evil blonde guy, Dolph Lundgren, I don't know, actually like fight. Like we made fun of him and he has a lot of scenes in this movie where he's just a bulldozer man.
Definitely.
And moves slowly. And punches
him at that wedding
so concussively
mm-hmm.
that people get knocked out. but there's a really kinetic, good fight scene. There's some shaky cam a little bit. Tight quarters.
From the stunt doubles.
It was like, it was enough cuts and enough darkness that they could use stunt doubles.
Yeah. It was exciting. Low light, I would have to say, would be innate obvious. Wasn't a big fan of him punching a woman.
Why?
That's just going to be the one, right? I'm going to be throwing out there. You know, he was upset. She was backstabbing him and just kept crying about how much she loved him. But, you know, the punch was surprising. And I was warned.
It wasn't
what I was expecting.
Can I talk to you about that?
Mm-hmm. I would love you to.
Yeah. So as a woman, right, when a dude punches a broad.
Yeah.
No, like, that was shocking.
Yeah.
To see.
He was so mad.
And, like, I don't know. I haven't seen a recent movie of our hero punching a woman ever.
No.
Like, that's like the reverse of, there's a screenwriting principle called save the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of this?
No.
It's like your save the cat moment is when you might have a character that's kind of like an evil guy,
mm-hmm.
but he'll like save a cat from a tree and you're like, oh, he's an anti-hero. Mm-hmm. Like that's our person. So like mm-hmm. the hero of your story is also always supposed to have a save the cat moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a reverse save the cat of like, I've been following James Bond this whole time. I love it. And then he just straight up decked this woman.
1,000%.
And I was like, whoa.
He goes so far as to not actually voluntarily save her. Like, she's drugged, no. And he keeps saying, I'm gonna leave you. He's like, if you don't fucking get up right now, why are you moving so slow?
He could not care if she lives or dies.
As soon as she betrayed him there, the whole train time, livid. Unreasonable.
Oh my god.
But then suddenly they're in love again. Oh, it was as soon as he realized she did not know about the sex tape. I feel like that really turned the tides.
This feels like a Real Housewives episode.
Honestly, it does.
A little bit. Highlight, this movie passes the Bechdel test.
Right? Shocking.
Crazy.
Crazy. And early on, like the woman who's heading up all of the evil shit mm-hmm. is a lady chatting to the scary lady about fun stuff.
Honestly.
I loved their numbering and director of planning.
Okay, let's pause and talk about Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
So we're introduced to Spectre, the evil organization.
Well, we're introduced to Dr. No, yeah.
Dr. No is like, I'm a part of Spectre, and that we're really evil. Buckle up.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, we're introduced to a couple other members of Spectre. Rosa Klebb is the Russian baddie behind most of the... She's essentially the villain of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a Czechoslovakian chess master. He's number 5. His title is Director of Planning.
Which is so iconic. It's because he looks up all the algorithms in his brain with his chess.
He's so good at chess that mm-hmm. he can... I love that. I want one of my new titles to be Director of Planning
yep.
in my career.
Yep. Could be planning anything. Just planning.
And they're both reporting to the mysterious number one, Blofeld, stroking his cat. If you're number 6, Inspector, do you become number 5 if number 5 gets kicked with a poison knife?
Ooh. Yeah, you have to.
You get upgraded?
Unless, I guess, you do, like, outside hiring, but that would grow some...
Do you think it's a tier list? Like, do you think if I'm number 5, I'm lesser than number...
I feel like it's...
3? Because it felt like... Number 5, Director of Planning, mm-hmm. was in a higher position of power than Klebb, was number 3.
That is true. It might just be by time of joining.
So, like, you have a couple managers, you hire director level outside. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. I get you.
When you're at the bottom of the list, you're just going to hope everybody else dies.
Yeah. What do you want me to do? It's nothing, number 17, you're fine. Oh, okay, do y'all need coffees or... It's good.
We're actually fine.
Okay, cool. There's a chair outside the boardroom that's pretty comfy. I'll just be sitting there. So you need anything? One of my highlights, the head of Turkish intelligence just drops out of nowhere that he grew up in the circus bending bars with his teeth.
Yeah.
I think that's crazy.
Yeah.
To just be... He was like, well, you'll get used to Istanbul just like I did when I broke out of that cage with my mouth in the circus. And then next scene. There's... Similar to I've lived everywhere there are shells.
Yep.
Every side character in these films gets some buck wild throwaway line.
You can tell Ian Fleming or the writer of this movie has never left England. Like, no idea.
I feel like he's either never left England or definitely killed a lot of tigers in India.
There's
like, that's the energy.
There is actually nothing in between. Yeah, I can see him in the all linen fit now.
I think some other things I put in my notes. This is the second movie with a little boat trip with a boy. Every sidekick quarrel, and now I forgot his name, but the head of Turkish intelligence.
Not a clue.
Gets Bond on a rowboat and just ferries him where he needs to go.
It is so cute.
It's pretty cute, yeah.
He's just, like, helping him out everywhere. He has an interesting little storyline of not wanting to fuck his wife.
Yeah, that was wild. The head of Turkish intelligence, former circus strongman, is just being followed around by this beautiful woman who is so rowdy to get him in bed. Mm-hmm. And he's like, ugh, I guess I'll fuck you. And because of that, survives an explosion in his office.
Yep.
And like, if I was him, this is an open letter out to who I'm sure is the son of that actor, because that actor is most certainly deceased.
Everybody in that movie is dead.
Just, come on, man. If someone's...
Can't say no.
If someone saves your life because they're that horny for you, take that as a sign. Quit your job.
Yeah.
Focus on the family.
Except he dies by getting murdered in the train.
That was tough. But that's because he didn't stay home and make love to his beautiful wife.
Exactly.
Another thing I wrote, which this is also a highlight for me, red wine with fish gave the villain away.
Dude, you called the shit out of that.
When they're
in an absurd way.
So our evil blonde villain guy is posing as a British intelligence agent to earn James Bond's trust and get the Lecter from him. And they're in this train. There's a lot, like, pretty much the back half of this movie takes place on a train.
Yeah.
And
we love that. I love trains.
He's like, I love trains.
Highlight. Alone.
Highlight trains.
Trains and boats.
Trains.
They really changed up transportation.
There was a plane too.
Ooh, and a helicopter.
Oh, and a helicopter. I got a lot to say about that helicopter scene.
Yeah, we'll circle back.
We'll circle back. They go to the restaurant car and to get a bite because the Russian guy posing as the British intelligence agent is just really hungry for some reason. He put himself in this. They did not need. Oh, no, because he needed to poison the girl.
Uh-huh.
They're at dinner. It's a really tense scene between Tanya and James because the last thing Tanya remembers was being punched so hard by her husband that she fell unconscious.
They broke up. She just crying. I love you. I love you. I love you. And then he leaves the room.
And then he's like, you want to go get some fish on this train?
Some branzino.
It's sole. First of all, it's sole.
Listen, I have no idea. Though.
They go to the restaurant car. They all eat the same fish dinner. Evil guy poisons the girl, and then they're ordering wine because James Bond has to be drunk right now. And
literally a whole bottle for each of them.
James Bond picks the perfect wine pairing. Mm-hmm. Of course he does. He's a socialite.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy, specifically, he could have just been like, I'll have that. And instead he goes, I'll take a Chianti red. Which is insane to have red wine with fish. Indeed. And James Bond clocked that.
Indeed. Too
late. He's already betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
And James Bond is like, I should have expected that from someone who drank red wine with a fish. You uncultured swine.
As soon as he ordered the Chianti, I was like, oh, Chianti. And he goes, he's going to clock that right away. Yeah. Incorrect, though.
James Bond is a sommelier. He fucking smells a rat from a mile away.
He was still reeling over his breakup, so we'll give him that one.
Another highlight of this movie, or not maybe a highlight, but I'll call this segment recurring themes.
Yes. Doo-doo-doo. We've been really focusing on recurring themes. Each of the movies.
Boys and boats.
Boys and boats.
Another recurring theme.
Sex and boats.
Sex and boats. Another recurring theme. James Bond loves himself a trap.
Mm-hmm.
They, at the beginning
he
of this...
He smiles as he enters them.
He's like, you mean I'm being set up? All right, here we go.
Sounds like I'm going in.
Sounds like I'm going in.
They're like, don't you want to leave? He's like,
why? Why? I know the enemy's going to be there. How else are they going to trap me? This is the
director of planning even called that.
Yeah, the director of planning, after winning the hell out of a chess tournament against stinky Canada, goes back to
a representation in this film.
That's true. We love Canada, part of the Commonwealth. Goes back to Spectre HQ and was like, British people love traps, man. We just got to set a trap. And they'll be like, is that a trap? We'll say, yeah, it is. And then they go, gotta get me some of that action.
You can't hold
especially
back.
Jimmy B.
100%. He
loves himself a trap.
100%. I feel like because it's like they don't have to really do the work. The bad guy then comes to them and they just got to bank on like Houdini style getting out of there.
It's true. Speaking of Houdini, the Russian evil guy got punched in the stomach without warning and survived.
Yeah. So.
Stronger than Houdini.
Brass knuckles by the Westminster woman.
Some of my lowlights, I would say, asterisk, all the very offensive things about travelers and Romanians. And
indeed. Just the kind of general offering. View of Istanbul.
Also pretty tough when they gave women to James Bond. I don't know. Was this bad or good?
I mean, liked it. But I was vibing the whole scene.
So James Bond saves...
Those women were eager.
James Bond saves the traveler camp from sheer destruction on account of another, I think, nomadic tribe of the region. I'm not sure.
No, it was the man's enemy came in with his army.
And then the chief goes, well, hey, James Bond, you saved us. You're a son of my tribe. You can have one of these women. And James Bond, in classic James Bond fashion, says, yeah, I'm going to have me a double dip.
He literally goes, it's going to take me a while to think about this.
It's going to take me a while to think about it. I might as well take both. Another highlight.
The very next day, you see them, like, fucking serving him tea, like, massaging his legs.
My highlight was when James is leaving that scene, one of the women does not... She's acting the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. She's got a hand in the air, like trying to wave goodbye, and he completely blows her off. And so she just keeps putting her hand up, getting self-conscious, pulling it down, putting her hand up, being like, oh, geez. And then he turns around and she's like waving so hard. She's like, he sees me. I thought that was hilarious.
She did a great job.
So yeah, low lights were the cultural insensitivities and the sexism for sure.
And what else?
I think Cleb is not a compelling villain.
No.
They
were old and boring.
They're two for two with goofed villains. Mm-hmm. Dr. No gets taken out immediately. Cleb doesn't even get taken out by Bond because she's a woman, so legally she has to be shot by another woman.
It was a terrible fighting scene. She just kept trying to kick him.
She seems like they take all of the menace out of her so quickly.
She was scary in the beginning.
She was scary in the beginning. Knuckles. And then she like fucks up at her job of killing James Bond. And so she has to go talk to her boss. Mm-hmm. And then her boss spares her, but she still seems pretty weak.
Yep.
The real good villain of the movie is the blonde hair guy.
Yeah.
He was menacing. There was also another highlight. Great cinematography in this one.
Yeah, same with the last movie. They had some like fun, like
they had
little
some
moments.
Good shots.
Less kind of artsy fartsy moments, but
please
you still
don't
had
curse.
You had some fun moments of them like going up the stairs, and you're like the camera's really far back, and you've got some cool shadow work that they're doing. But specifically with that mirror scene with that man.
Oh my God, you can see the reflection of the blonde guy in the window watching James Bond at the train station.
They did a good job of making it like he was always lurking, but no one was really aware. Like, James Bond was surprisingly caught off guard if you, like, buy him entirely in this movie.
Well, it's a trap. I don't know. James might have put himself in it just for the horniness of it.
That's true.
Who's your favorite character? What character in this film do you think deserves a franchise spinoff?
I feel like I have to give two because my first is a dead character. I would love an origin story of Mr. Blonde Man. Just going into that. It feels like it might be very Homelander from The Boys, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You
okay.
know, but I'd be intrigued.
Yeah, I like that.
And then if we have to go for, like, a living character that could actually have a spinoff, I would say there's something to do with the sons of the Turkish man. He's got a lot of sons.
He has a lot of sons.
And they're very successful and pretty.
That was a crazy thing. That head of Turkish intelligence is like, all of my important roles on my staff are filled by my sons. Mm-hmm. I imagine there's like five at least.
He's got a lot of kids, it seems like.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that as a reality show.
Right.
I would be okay with a spinoff of... I like the head of Turkish intelligence guy. I want to see him at the circus. Mm. I want to see how he came up, how he went from the circus to being the head of Turkish intelligence.
Yeah, tearing bars with his teeth.
I want to also, missed opportunity film, show me him tearing stuff apart with his teeth, please.
That's a childhood gift.
I was fascinated by that. I would, there weren't that many characters in this, and I was very... excited about
there were a ton of characters, but just not a lot that got close to them.
Yes. I would say Moneypenny.
Oh.
I love Moneypenny.
Yeah, terrific.
She's been consistent through these past two movies as essentially Bond's platonic wife.
I feel like that's always kind of like the vibe.
He always falls back to Moneypenny.
Mm-hmm. But it's like always their thing that's like the one where she's too pure, like the one he'll never soil. Tarnish.
Soil.
Yeah, I don't like the use of that one. I like tarnish.
Yeah, he'll never tarnish these women. Another spinoff character, Sylvia Trench.
Truly, I loved her comebacks.
She has been...
Is she famous?
Actress, probably.
Yeah.
She, according to the rules of this movie, has been calling James Bond's phone without answer for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then he picks up and she's like, you want to come fuck on a boat?
Yeah.
Her persistence and her energy is so wild.
He must be a good lay. Like, he must be.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He needs a mouth big enough, according to...
Awful.
Well, it's terrible. What was your best Bond moment? What was... Oh, you took some notes.
I took notes because
Alex is pulling it. Right now, Alex is pulling out a leather-bound journal that she's written in with an ink and quill.
So this is my notes that says Bond moments, but I spelled Bond wrong. Instead, it says B-O-N-S moments.
Right, well.
And from Russia with Love. First moment, I will say, is when he's trying to assassinate the evil guy that's been trying to kill the Turkish intelligence man. They use a sniper rifle and they're trying to aim in this billboard of a woman, and the mouth of the billboard drops open and the guy's climbing out and they shoot him. Bond, as they leave, goes, she should have kept her mouth shut.
Absolutely.
And then the next one is when our lovely, lovely Bond girl is sobbing over James Bond and says, I love you, I love you, I love you. And he goes, sure. Leaves, closes the door. Nothing to do.
All right.
Gone. Let her cry.
Oh, I also just found in my notes a low light. Rosa Clever rolls the hell out of her R's. Did you notice that?
Yeah. So we got our, instead of getting my wish of hearing British people try to do Russian accents, which that kind of was, instead it mainly was just people having British accents. Just weird.
Everyone's British. I would.
Including the Canadian.
Big Bond moment. Q showing up with the gadgets.
Def.
Loved that scene.
The shooting moment in the intro.
Yes. This is the first one where we have the shooting down the barrel of a gun, like animatic. Mm-hmm. This opening scene.
That's actually what he looks like in a gunfight.
He never aims, only fires from the hip. It's crazy. That was fucking low light. It's fight at the traveler camp. James Bond is drunk and confused.
No idea what's going on.
He does not know where he is.
No.
He does not know what's happening.
Sean, no sense of aim.
Sean Connery is just, there's, hell is breaking loose. a small army has invaded this camp and everything is on fire.
Yep.
There is gunfight, melees, everything's happening. James Bond is walking around very slowly and people are fighting around him, and he'll just grab a pair of people who are fighting and just push them away.
He grabs a bench, gone.
Yeah. These people are fighting a tent. He just cuts the tent, closes it on him.
Easy.
I don't want to see that shit. Put it away. Some other people are fighting, pushes a table over on him. He's like, you're going in the... He throws two people into a lake.
Yep.
He's just like...
But in slow-mo, still.
It's like he's sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm.
So slowly walking around, being like, I don't want to deal with it. Oh, this sucks. Push away.
He shoots his gun like he is a businessman that found a gun in his bag.
He shoots his gun like I do finger guns. 100%. He only goes like, hey. Like, he'll never look down the sights of his gun. It's all just bow.
Gotta keep it real low.
Right from the hip.
And if he does get it close to his face, the other arm is like flailing and he's kind of falling at the same time.
Another huge James Bond moment. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
When he blows up 15 people with a flare gun. Mm-hmm. That was crazy.
Because a lot of his one-liners misses.
Misses in this one. Mm-hmm. Another low
light. That's a low light.
That's a low light is he just like, he blows up a helicopter during the craziest helicopter fight scene where nothing happens.
Literally dressed like an Englishman living on the countryside on a rainy day.
Dressed like he's going to work, just dodging a helicopter.
Fedora and everything.
And then he blows up the helicopter and goes, I guess they're missing an aircraft.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like he shot a guy and goes, guess he's dead. Like, it's just, all right. Sounds good, man. But he did have another good one where evil lady Kleb finally faces James Bond in person. She is, I mean, she's just a weak 80-year-old woman.
Awful.
She has a poison knife in her boot. She's trying to kick him, but her little 4-foot-tall legs cannot reach James Bond.
Awful.
And so Tanya shoots Kleb, and then James Bond goes, well, she had her kicks. That's a good one.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Overall, though, what would you rate this movie out of 10? You gave Dr. No a 6.5.
For this one, I would give it a 7.
Okay, you like this more than Dr. Yeah, No?
I would give it like just like a step above. I think it had more stuff going on. And there were still, like, you know, some slow moments, and it had less kind of characters I was really fond of, which kind of makes it not be a 7.5. I feel like the excitement alone might have brought it up, but the lack of someone I could really root for and love.
I like that. Okay. I'm going to flip you. I'm going to go 6.5.
Whoa.
I'm actually going down in the rating.
Interesting. What brings you there?
I think Dr. No had something really special about it. In that, I think Dr. No is a detective movie, and this one is a spy movie. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that this nailed the spy part.
Gotcha.
And also, I have a little bit of a different experience, because I've seen more James Bond movies. So I'm like, I know, but I also, I mean, as evidenced by this watch, I might be misremembering parts of the movie, but like I have something in my brain of like, oh no, this isn't as spy as it can get. It should be like Goldfinger, or it should be like, you know, something else. I would give this one a 6.5 overall. I think it is a great film. It is not quite as special.
No.
As Dr. No.
Okay, I can see that.
And also, I don't know. For some reason, Dr. No's action held me a little bit more. This one has a lot more. Maybe it's because we're let in on what the enemy is up to. That I was like, I feel like I know what's going to happen. But a lot more globetrotting, which I liked. We got Venice, Zagreb, Istanbul, London. It's a lot of places.
Definitely.
All right. That's going to do it. For episode 2 of Shaken and Stirred, a James Bond podcast. Alex, if you could sum this movie up into one word, what would you say? You heard it here. We'll catch you all next time.